So talking about the choices that people make to honor God instead of giving in to the fear, temptations that they may face in the world. And down through the generations, not only in Scripture, but in our own more modern history, we've seen people of faith have to make these sorts of choices. Will they follow Jesus, or will they accept the ways of the world? And will they obey God, or will they seek the approval of people around them? I want to share just a few examples from more recent history before we get into the biblical story today in Hebrews 11. And the first comes from the mid-1930s. There was a young German pastor and theologian named Dietrich Bonhoeffer who chose to join the resistance movement opposing Adolf Hitler. And Bonhoeffer led the Confessing Church movement, which was part of the Christian church, but a part that said, we don't want to be affiliated in any way with what the state church is doing in supporting the Nazi movement. And so Bonhoeffer and others stood opposed to that terrible work that was being done in Germany. And this choice eventually cost Dietrich Bonhoeffer his life. He was executed in a German prison camp on April 9th, 1945. In May 1942, a Dutch family turned a portion of their home into a hiding place to save some of their Jewish neighbors from, again, the Nazi forces that were moving in to that part of Europe. Their family were able to hide up to six Jewish people in a small compartment in their room. And as followers of Jesus, the Tinboom family chose to risk their own lives so that they could save others. Their choice eventually cost the Tinboom family dearly, as many of them were arrested, sent to concentration camps, and several died. Corrie Ten Boom survived to tell her story, to continue her ministry to those in need in her own country. One more story from our own country. On August 28, 1963, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Chose to speak up for the dream that God had placed in his heart, a dream of racial equality and civil rights for all people. And it was a dream that wasn't just based on political ideology, but it was a dream based on his reading of God's Word and the prophetic vision that he found there. Dr. King's choice to speak out and to march and to demand civil rights eventually cost him his life. He was murdered on April 4th, 1968. These stories remind us that following Jesus requires of us making hard choices. Choices to obey God and to love people and to seek righteousness in this world, even against or over the demands and the temptations that this world may place on us. And so we're going to continue reading today in Hebrews chapter 11 and find more stories of people of faith who chose to honor God even when it was hard. And so we'll begin with the stories of Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. This is Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. Now, last week we read about God's promise to Abraham, how God had promised him and his descendants the promised land, the land that they would one day enter. And it was a land that Abraham himself, even though he lived there for part of his life, never owned, never was able to occupy, but it would be given eventually to his descendants, to his children and their children, and many generations later as God grew his family into a great nation. And so Abraham blessed Isaac, his son, and then Isaac passed the blessing on to Jacob, his son, and then Jacob blessed his own children, including Joseph and Joseph's children. And Joseph brought that family, the Israelites, the Hebrew people, down to Egypt, where they were welcomed and protected and provided for there for a couple of generations. But then the Egyptians turned the Israelites into slaves. And we know that history. For 400 years, they were slaves there in Egypt. But Joseph believed, knowing what God had promised. He believed that one day God would rescue his descendants from slavery and from all that the Egyptians were doing to them. And so Joseph was able to look forward, look ahead to the promises that God had made, knowing that those promises would be fulfilled. And our faith should follow that same example. In faith, we choose to look ahead to what God has promised us. Now, that's a daring and difficult thing to do, even in our own lives. We choose today not to focus on the troubles and difficulties of this world, which we know, of course, are many. We choose not to be consumed by all the challenges that we face today. We choose not to become transfixed by even the good things in this world or the bad things or the ugly things in this world. But we choose instead to look ahead and to anticipate. We choose to watch for God's great promises to be fulfilled among us. Now, the people of the Old Testament were always looking ahead in faith. And so Abraham, who we read about last week, and his children, they looked ahead to the promised land. Someday God's going to give us this great land, and we will get to live here. Our children after us, they will get to settle in this land. And then you can imagine the slaves in Egypt also had to look ahead to their freedom, and they had to look ahead to that time when they would be restored out of slavery and taken away through the Exodus to that promised land. They looked ahead to a time when God would turn them into not just a people living under the Egyptians, but into their own nation, a great people with the land that God had given them. And they looked ahead to when they would have a king, a good king who would seek after God's own heart. But most of all, the people of faith in the Old Testament looked ahead to the greatest promise of God, which was that He would one day send the Messiah, that He would one day send the Christ, the Savior who would come and take away the sins of God's people. Now today, we are New Testament people. And we also have faith. We know that the Savior has already come, but we still look ahead to the great promises of God that are yet to be fulfilled. And so we look for the expansion of the church and the growth of God's kingdom. And we've had a little taste of that this morning, thinking about the work that God is doing in Congo. And if you missed what Mark said, there are more covenant believers today in Congo than there are covenant believers in North America. And that is a fulfillment of the expansion of the kingdom of God. As God's word is going out and God's church is growing in parts of the world that we may never get to travel to, but we know that through the work of missionaries and now through the work of believers in that country, that church is growing, and we should be grateful. Even as we see the American church in many ways struggling, we know that God's kingdom is growing around the world, just as it has for 2,000 years. And we look forward to the fulfillment of Jesus' words. He said that the gospel will be preached in all nations. And He gave us the great commission that we are to go and make disciples, again, of all nations, to go to the ends of the earth. And so we look ahead to the fulfillment of that promise that the gospel will grow and the church will expand and be taken into all the world. We also look ahead, of course, to the return of Jesus. We look ahead to the final fulfillment of God's promises. We look ahead also to our place in heaven, when all of the troubles and difficulties of this world will be behind us and we will enter into that better country, that new city that we read about last Sunday earlier in Hebrews 11, that place that God is preparing for us. Along the way, we pass faith on to the next generation, just as Abraham passed the blessing on to Isaac and Isaac to Jacob. We now pass our faith on to our children and on to our grandchildren. And we know that that faith will be passed generation to generation, just as it was passed down to us. And so we teach each generation to look ahead in faith, to wait, to watch for God's promises to be fulfilled. Now, we know this is not always easy to do. There's so many distractions and temptations and worries in this world. And Moses, who we're going to read about in a moment, Moses understood the temptations of this world and the challenges that come against the people of faith when we seek to follow the promises that God has made to us. So listen to what Hebrews 11 says about Moses. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. You remember the king had said all of the male children were to be killed among the Hebrews. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses, of course, was a descendant of Abraham. He was also an heir to the promise that God had made, but he was raised through that story that we can read at the beginning of Exodus. He was raised in Pharaoh's household, adopted by Pharaoh's own daughter, and raised there in the luxury of that place with the power of Egypt, the greatest power at that time in the world, an adopted prince of the Egyptians. And so Moses then, as he grew up, had to make a choice. Would he enjoy the luxuries of the palace? Would he benefit from the power of the Egyptian monarchy, or would he return to his own people? And would he embrace the promises that God had made to them and eventually accept the calling that God would place on him in particular to be the one to lead the people out of slavery and out of Egypt and on to the promised land? And here's what we need to learn from Moses, that in faith we choose to follow Jesus over the treasures of this world. We need to make that choice. Listen again to what it says in verse 26. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Now Moses lived 1,500 years before Jesus came into the world. And yet his faith was just like ours. Moses and the people of the Old Testament who understood the promises of God looked ahead to the coming of Christ. They looked ahead to when that promise would be fulfilled, understanding that one day God would send His own Son to take away our sins, to become our Savior. And in the ways that they were able to understand the promises and prophecies of God, Moses and his people looked ahead to that fulfillment. Just as we now look back, knowing that Jesus has come and fulfilled that promise, we look back now knowing that the Christ did come, and we also now choose, just as Moses did, to embrace those promises of God and to walk in faith and trust that God will be with us, even if we, like Moses, have to give up the pleasures, the treasures, as it says, of this world. Moses chose God's promises over the power of the Egyptians. He chose to lead his people out of slavery and eventually all the way to the borders of the Promised Land. And we face choices like this also. Will we obey God's word, or will we follow the ways of the world? Will we do what we know God has said is good and right and honest and moral? Or will we be led by the greed and selfishness that so often is not only in the world around us, but also tempts our own hearts? Will we share the love and message of Jesus, even if it means being rejected and ridiculed by some? Will we lift others up in compassion and mercy instead of seeking after our own interests and protecting our own positions of power? Will we walk in faith? Will we look ahead to God's promises instead of giving in to the fear and anxiety that so often dominate our lives? Now this brings us to the rest of Moses' story. He followed the example set by his own parents. And so let me start again with verse 23. Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. They were not afraid. And so then in verse 27 it says, "By faith Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. And by faith he kept the Passover and the application of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. And by faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. But when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. And by faith the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. And by faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient." Moses led the people out of Egypt. First, he saved them through the Passover. And you remember that story as God gave them instructions to place the lamb's blood on the door frames of their home so that when that plague hit Egypt, their firstborns would be protected, but the people of Egypt would suffer that terrible plague. Then Moses led the Israelites through the waters of the Red Sea, parted for them by God's power, and they were able to pass through on dry land. But when the Egyptian army tried to follow behind, the waters of the Red Sea collapsed in and washed them away. They trusted in God's miraculous power to save them. Then it was Joshua, Moses' right-hand man, who led Israel into the Promised Land. Despite the high walls and the fortifications of Jericho, by faith they trusted in God's power, and those walls fell, and they were able to take Jericho. And then through a long series of faith and obedience and times of disobedience, God led them to conquer the Promised Land. Moses and Joshua and even Rahab the prostitute, who lived there in Jericho, who chose to believe in the promises of God against her own people. She chose to stand with God and God's people and help them in their conquest of the land of Jericho. And so Moses and Joshua and even Rahab chose faith in God over fear, and we need to follow their example as well. In faith, we choose not to be afraid. We know there are many reasons for fear today, but we choose not to be afraid of the turmoil of our world. Whether it be the political chaos and the ugliness of the election, whether it be the illness and the pandemic that we know is so real around us, we choose to act responsibly and safely, but we also trust that God will protect us. And so we worship and we gather safely with loved ones, living in faith and not in fear. We don't fear the growing opposition to the church. We don't fear those who reject our faith or criticize our ways of life. We don't fear the persecution and the ridicule that may come our way in the days ahead. We continue to share Jesus' love and message. We continue to worship and pray and trust in God, even when others may call us foolish. And we hold fast to the promises of God because we are looking ahead to the good things that God has said are coming for us. Like the men and women of faith who have gone before us, we walk in faith. And we trust in God and His goodness and His power and His compassion. And we choose faith in place of fear. So let's bow our heads and join in a word of prayer. Father, we do trust in You. We thank You for Your promises, Lord. We need the assurance that You are with us, that You are watching over and protecting us. We need, Lord, the strength that You give us. And so, Father, teach us to depend on You instead of our own strength or the offers of this world. Lord, give us faith in place of fear. Teach us to look ahead to those good things You have in store for us. In this life, Lord, we trust in You that You will meet our needs day by day, but even more, we look ahead to that time when we will gather around Your throne with all of Your people. We'll rejoice with people of every nation and tribe and language, all before Your throne, that great multitude of praise, Lord. We look ahead to that time because we know that it will be so much better than anything that this world could offer us. So, Father, we thank You for Your grace today, and I pray Your blessing and Your peace and Your hope to be with us. We ask all this in Jesus' good name. Amen.